Talk to me.
Welcome back to On the Homestretch with your host, Debbie Allen.
Well, we're talking about something really important because evidently a lot more women suffer from this than they are letting their doctors even know. But girlfriends talk. And have you ever heard about pelvic pain syndrome? And that's where sex is just really painful for women. What can you do about it? Do you just try to push through it? Are there treatments available? We're talking to Dr. David Yerian, who is a licensed psychologist and a certified sex therapist in private practice in Nashville since 1980. He specializes in treating couples that want to improve their marital relationship. And wow, this is a biggie. If every time you make love it hurts, then that's only fun for one person. That's no good.
Right, absolutely.
And really, if the guy knows it hurts, then it's no fun for him either.
Right. That's very true.
Tell me some of your stories, some of the things that you find with women.
Well, first let me say that sex is not supposed to hurt. And
Not at all. Like the first week you get married or the first time you're with somebody?
Well, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
That is supposed to hurt. Okay.
Yeah. But that's about breaking the hymen. And yeah. when that's done, it's done. So there are all kinds of sources for pain in sex for women. The single most common is insufficient arousal, and
because the lubrication then is not been, it's not naturally lubricating.
That's part of it.
Okay.
The other part is that the entire female genitalia becomes mm-hmm. aroused, becomes full of blood, actually tumescent, just as males become tumescent. The clitoris becomes erect. All the genital tissue becomes engorged with blood. There can be a rosy glow to the skin. All of this, with lubrication, all of this prepares women to enjoy sex. And too often, couples don't take enough time.
Like, and how much time should it take for the foreplay? What do you think?
Well,
I guess it's different for every woman?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I didn't even know that that was supposed to be erect. Did you, Bailey, did you know that? Did you know that? I did not know that. Bailey said, I'm not touching this.
Well.
Okay. But I just did not know that. I've been married a long time.
Well, check it out sometime.
I think I will. You are funny. I think I should.
But see, that's,
you know, interesting. Funny. I think there are women of this generation that
don't
have,
look.
We don't look. We don't want to know.
It's down there.
I think that's true. But
it's like
I want to become
more educated. The double message we get: your body is the temple of the Lord, and it's filthy. Don't touch it.
Oh, you know? That is true. That is a mixed message right there, brother.
But what a wondrous mechanism our bodies are.
And I want to start fully enjoying all of life, that part more too.
So self-pleasuring is a wonderful way to learn about your body. And for women particularly, it's very useful to practice self-pleasuring where you're not worried about what your partner's thinking or how he's responding or is he impatient or is he going to leave you if you don't hurry up, to take all the time that you need to find out what full and complete arousal really feels like.
Because then the more we know, the more we can help our partners understand us.
And most men really want to know how to please their partner.
Yeah.
So I think women are often too shy in speaking with their partner about what they need. It's not just like, touch me here so I, you know, have this massive orgasm, but it's more about, this is the way I need for you to love me, to bring me to the fullest and highest state of arousal possible so that we both can have a fantastic time.
Mm. All right, how common is the problem of painful sex? How often in your office do you hear it?
Yeah, I don't have numbers on that. Anecdotally, I hear it a lot. And often couples will come to me and the complaint is that the wife has low desire. So she's avoidant of sex. And what I often hear as I inquire further is that there's pain with sex. And so, you know, this is logical to avoid something that's painful.
Yeah.
So what's important is to find and treat the cause of the pain. And as I said, the single most common cause is insufficient arousal. But in addition, there are a number of other syndromes. We call them pelvic pain syndromes, and they have names like vestibulitis, vaginismus, vulvodynia, interstitial cystitis, hyperactive pelvic floor syndrome. Now, these are all medical words, and there are other syndromes as well, but the point is that there are there is a wide range of causes, possible causes for pelvic pain.
Could two people just be mismatched? Could a guy just be too, say, large for a woman, for her structure?
There are certainly challenges at times for couples to find a way to connect properly sexually.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. Babies come through there. And babies are larger
well,
than
point.
Penises.
Good point, John. That's true.
So
some people have had C-sections.
That's true. But they've had C-sections because the baby was 10 pounds or something.
Yeah, you know. Right. That's true. Or the pelvic structure is just
yeah,
too small.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to go through some of those syndromes?
Yeah. Vestibulitis is pain that occurs in the vestibule, i.e. the entrance of the vagina. And we don't really know what causes it. It's thought to be possibly neurological in nature. There are a range of treatments for it. Most of them are horrible. Interferon, injections, surgery, things like that.
There's no way just to spend time stretching that area?
Well, that's the thing. See, I really advocate more a massage-based approach.
Mm.
I think with full and complete arousal and slow, gentle touch, in most cases, vestibulitis can be resolved.
Okay.
10 years ago, my wife had vestibulitis, and
okay.
for a period of months, we did a lot of this kind of work or play or... I don't know.
Depends how you look at it.
Right, yeah. But it was focused and it was purposeful, and it was not about having sex, but it did involve complete arousal on her part and slow, gentle touch on my part. And I teach clients to do this, and one of the keys is when there is any pain, when there is even a twinge of pain, it's important to stop and back up and take a couple of deep, slow breaths and relax and begin again.
Okay.
So we were joking earlier about pushing through the pain, and in sexual pain, that's not a good idea. And I think that there is a lot of that that goes on, where women are uncomfortable or actually have pain, and they're thinking, well, I'll just get through this, you know, and they grit their teeth and close their eyes and suffer.
And what does that do? That starts messing with the brain, huh? Because then all of a sudden, this is supposed to be a pleasurable, loving, sweet act.
Makes you not want to do it.
Yeah.
Makes you want to avoid it. Makes you want to avoid even embracing, because he might get ideas and get things going.
Can those kind of things even subconsciously? So you're not even thinking that.
Sure.
But deep inside you are.
Yeah. And I think often something happens where the person who's in pain is gritting her teeth and bearing it, and then finally she can't stand it anymore, and she says, "Stop!" Which, you know, freaks everybody out.
Yeah.
And the male partner doesn't know what's going on. So this is where communication is real important.
That could probably even cause ED problems in him later on.
Yeah.
And understandably so.
And also, the man can subconsciously begin to feel that his sexual organ is the instrument of pain for his wife. And so if his erection causes pain, you know, maybe the erection goes away. So,
So do you work as a licensed psychologist and a certified sex therapist? Do you also work then with the couple's gynecologist, or, you know, how does that all work?
Yeah, I often consult with them. And I will say that gynecologists are now more aware of a range of approaches to treating pelvic pain. 10 years ago, they didn't know a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go to Atlanta to get the vestibulitis diagnosed 10 years ago.
Mm.
But nowadays, gynecologists, I think, are much more aware. And if you're having pain, by all means, talk with your gynecologist. Talk with a sex therapist.
Do you have women who are ashamed to tell you that they're having pain with that, or ashamed even to tell their husband?
Yeah. Well, it's easy, I think, to feel like you're a failure.
Yeah, I'm weird. Or
I'm not doing it right as a woman or something. And But there's nothing shameful about pain. Pain is just pain. Pain is a signal that there's something wrong. And what's important is to talk about it, to seek help, and to figure out what to do. And there are things to do for these pain syndromes.
Dr. Yerian, are there any good websites that you particularly like that can help?
I have a website called booksforselfhelp.com. And there's a section on women's sexual health. And in that section, there are a number of books I recommend that are about pelvic pain syndromes. There's also information on my website, davidyerian.com. There's also a good website called pelvicpain.org that has a lot of good information on pelvic pain syndromes.
All right, that's pelvicpain.org.
Yes.
Also, I guess, website, davidyerian.com, and then books for self-help. That's books for the number four, selfhelp.com. All right, doctor, thank you so much. I really appreciate your attitude about this, that we can laugh about some things that are laughable. But then I see your heart in really helping people, so that's great. Some good information. You're listening to On the Home Stretch, found at onthehomestretch.com. I'm Debbie Allen.